Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. In the last show, we were talking about some of these damnable heresies that are creeping in and the misinterpretation of Paul by taking Paul out of the context of Paul, out of the context of Christ, imagining that Paul was preaching some different gospel than that which had been instructed to the apostles for years. And that the apostles were instructing for years, and that Paul once persecuted, but then suddenly through divine revelation, saw what he did not see before, what the apostles were seeing all along and trying to tell people, and what I'm trying to tell you, but many of you do not see what Paul said, what the apostles said, what Jesus Christ said over and over again. These are not different gospels. They are all the same gospel. When Paul says, my gospel, it's now his good news to you is the same good news as Christ. And Paul makes that very clear. We were just reading at the end of the last show in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. How is he a prisoner of Jesus Christ? For you Gentiles, for you other nations. Now, he's not talking to other Gentiles. He's not sending letters to just, I'm just going to send out a letter to Rome and it's just going to be published on the wall and everybody's going to read. He's sending it to those who are already believers in Jesus Christ, who are doing what Jesus Christ said, what the apostles were teaching, what Linus was teaching, what Claudia was teaching in Rome, who were Gentiles. We're actually from Great Britain, as we said in the first part of our 24-hour series on Paul and the Romans. These people were doing something different than modern Christians are doing. And that's what made them the us that Paul was writing to. You need to be doing what they were doing. You will still be saved by grace. But then he mentions this, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace. And now, as soon as you see dispensation of grace, some damnable heretic comes in and creates an entire eschatology surrounding the Gospels, some of which is full of truth, but some is full of deception. And so we see this dispensation of the Gospel, and we think that we're talking about the same thing as the modern dispensationalists who go on and on and on and on about dispensation. Now, certainly there is grace. Grace is just forgiveness. The word dispensation appears about 7 times in the Bible. 4 times, at least this one that is translated dispensation, oikonomia. Well, oikonomia, that comes from a word that means household. Steward, chamberlain, also. Oikonomos. Nomos, isn't that the word for law? Well, it is. I'll be darned. The word for law. How can that be? Oiki, the house. The way in which you manage your house. The management of a household or the household affairs. Specifically, the management, oversight, and administration of other properties. This is what this word dispensation means. How he manages the office of manager or overseer or stewardship. The administration and dispensation. So when we see Paul using that word dispensation, is he's talking about the same dispensationalism that we see in modern churchianity? Or is he talking about something else? What's he talking about? Well, let's look at some of the other places that we see the same word used. In Luke, we see it in Luke 16:2. What's he saying in Luke 16:2? And who is saying it? And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. That's dispensation. For thou mayest be no longer a steward. That's in one of those parables. You know, and he, in the next verse, which is where we see the word again. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. Very next verse, he uses the same word again. This dispensationalism word. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. This is where he starts forgiving debts. Everywhere. We don't see the word used again in the Bible until 1 Corinthians 9:17 by Paul. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What's he talking about? A stewardship of the gospel. That's the same word that we see in Luke. The stewardship of the gospel. He is a prisoner of Christ. He has to tell it like it is. Unfortunately, many of the modern Christians are not hearing it like it is. They're doing something contrary. They think they're coming in the name of Christ or Yeshua or Jesus, but they're not doing what he said. And Jesus warned about that. Not those who say, but those who do it. That's what we need to be. Those who do it. And then so we see the word finally in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And then again, but that word was stewardship before, in the stewardship of the fullness of time. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you. You see, that's the word. That's what we're dealing with, this dispensation, which means the management of household. You should be managing the household of God. We see it again in Colossians as dispensation, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you. But the dispensation of do nothing, but think only, is satanic. And it has created apathy amongst Christians, or so-called Christians. So they are no longer doers of the word, but hearers only. Repeaters only. They serve God with their lips, not with their doing. Now, what are they supposed to be doing? You see, that's one of the big problems. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And they're certainly not doing it. And so, whereby when we read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul was a doer. He was writing doers who were taking care of the entire social welfare of their community through faith, hope, and charity. And not praying to Caesar, to Herods of the world, to the Nimrods of the world for their benefits, because they knew that those men exercised authority one over the other, took from their neighbor, took from their neighbor's children and from their grandchildren to provide them with benefits, and they were not lovers of that reward, which in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Is it revealed to you by the Spirit? I mean, I'm telling you, but you're not going to get it unless it's revealed to you by the Spirit. Because you're going to think, oh, well, he doesn't have the eschatology of Billy Graham or the eschatology of, you know, whoever. I can't even think of all the guys. I don't listen to those guys. They're confused. And they reap confusion upon the people. If we have heard of the dispensation of grace, this guy goes on and writes, of God, which is given me to you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. When ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Yeah, I understand Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ, but I don't think he does, the guy writing this. He says the gospel of the kingdom is prophecy, the gospel of Christ is mystery. It's a mystery to most of the people who claim this dispensationalism because they are not doers of the word. They are not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. They do not love their neighbor. They love their benefits. They will send men to their neighbor's house with a gun to take away from their neighbor so that they can have social welfare. And if their neighbor does not give them what their ministers say their neighbor owes, their ministers will throw their neighbor into jail, into pits, and beat them, and take from them. Just like the parable. When Jesus Christ comes, what's he going to do with you who did not forgive that debt and said, hey, I paid in, you have to pay now? Is that not the exact same parable Christ gave you? What's he going to do with you? He's going to throw you into a pit, into a deep dungeon pit, because you don't know him. Because you're still coveting your neighbor's goods to the men who exercise authority because you paid in and you think you have a right to take from your neighbor now. You are a worker of iniquity, for gosh sakes. You don't get the grace of Christ. You're going to be cast into the darkest pit. Now you can repent. You can turn around. You can start coming together in congregations that give of themselves to take care of the other members in their congregation if there is a true need. You don't even know how to do that. But you can learn by doing. You can learn by walking in the path of the early Christians who were doing the same thing. They were cast out of the welfare systems of Herod and Caesar and the treasurer of Corinth and all these other, 127 different nations who had signed up at these temples of social welfare to take care of the needy of their society through forced offerings that made the word of God to none effect. That's what they were doing, but that's not what you're doing. You're not doing what the people were doing that Paul was writing to. He's not writing to you. If you were doing that, and I know some of you are turning around and starting to do that, you have to start giving of yourself, sacrificing. Christ didn't die on the cross after everybody agreed with him. He gave his life before everybody agreed with him. You don't cast your bread upon the waters after they give you lunch. You cast your bread on the waters before in hopes that it comes back. You need to come together in congregations of record and say, we're going to follow the ways of Christ. Go on record and say, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to try to take care of the needy of my society through faith, hope, and charity. And there are many needy of society and more coming. You just have to repent. You just have to turn around. You just have to go another way. A way you have not been going for quite some time. And for 2 Timothy verse 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you doing it now? Are you rightly dividing the word of truth? Can you hear this mystery revealed unto you in your heart? That unless you live by faith, hope, and charity, you know not Christ. That word study, spoudazo, in the Greek, only translated study once in the Bible. Three times it's translated endeavor. Twice it's translated due diligence. be diligent twice, give diligence once, be forward once, labor once. It means hasten, make haste. To exert oneself, endeavor, give diligence. Like that word, strive. When Christ has asked, are many saved? He says, strive. To get through the narrow gate. Broad is the gate of just believe. Broad is the gate of just believe in Jesus. Because it doesn't say what Jesus said. It doesn't say what believing in Jesus looks like. It doesn't say what the path, the way is. Just believe. Then go about, do whatever you were doing before. Don't turn around. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at what you're doing. Just go do your own thing. But believe and you're saved. That is out of hell. That is satanic. That is a false gospel. It's not what Paul said. There's only one gospel of Christ, and he preached a kingdom at hand and told us to do the same, and so did Paul. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's simple. That's not hard to understand. 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, which is exactly where these guys have taken you, and these babbling religions of complex eschatologies with their charts. Oh, wow, there was this and this, and then we got this blue area here where you don't have to do anything, and you're just saved, and then Jesus is going to come back and make it all right again. What goofy stuff. Go on in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That sounds like doing. That you have to depart from iniquity? What kind of iniquity? Maybe the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. Where you pray to men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other for your benefits. Go on to verse 21. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Well, have you purged yourself from systems that exercise authority one over the other to provide the benefits of the needy of your society? Have you purged yourself from that? No. Does that mean you should stop paying into that system? No, that's not what I'm saying. You may still have to pay your tally of bricks. You've been a sinner, you bad boy. You bad girl. You have been deceived by false religion. You have been seduced. You have been sold into bondage by your parents. Lots of things. Okay, got it. Get it. Repent. Say, okay, I'm going to start to come together with others and start creating and learning what it takes to create an alternative system of social welfare that is based on love alone. Wow! If that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How original is that? These guys who sit in their pews and sit behind their little Bible studies and say, I love my neighbor. And, you know, they put little hearts on Facebook. Oh, I love you. It's all show. It's whited sepulchers. Because their real benefactors are out there with guns, forcing their neighbors to contribute to their welfare, providing them with public schools and health care police departments and fire departments, even. Oh, but those are government services. That used to be church services. Did you know that? All that used to be church services. Churches did that. Not no more. They're just singing and putting up that big screen TV or going around thinking, I'm saved because I thought a thought. Talk about magic. Talk about the power of magic. You think a thought and you've saved yourself. You are a powerful magician. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. Depart from iniquity. If a man therefore purge himself from those iniquities, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. But he told you the parable of the master who found his servant who he had forgiven, not forgiving others, not living by faith, hope, and charity, but forcing others through power to pay him what he thought he should get, not being forgiving himself. You want to be forgiving? You better start figuring out another way of getting through life other than praying to men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority. And it is late in the day, as we showed you in the beginning of the last show. It is late in the day. And we're going to show you more eventually in this series. Unbelievable statistics for your time. This is much like it was in Rome, but it is worse right now than it was at the time Paul was speaking. Romans 13, verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, before love is the fulfilling of the law. That's not the law that was done away with. That's the entole, the commandments. You are now under 10,000, 100,000s of laws, because you have eaten the benefits of kings, men who exercise authority. And you have eaten with great appetite. And you have been slothful. And you were under all their laws. Because you went whoring after their gods, their ruling judges. If you don't know what that means, go listen to and look up our God's many recordings and programs, so that you can finally come to an understanding. But again, I don't believe you'll understand this even then unless God is revealing it to you as I speak to you. I am trying to speak to your hearts. I'm just tearing down these fabricated beliefs that you have invented around yourself so that you would feel good, because they make you feel good. Christ came to make you be good, not feel good. 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And his commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Not so that you can have public school, not so that you can have health care, not so that you can have security of any kind. You will not covet your neighbor's goods. If you are, you're not keeping his commandments. And you are not the children of God. And you are not believers. Do we then make void the law through faith? Paul says in Romans 3:31, God forbid. We establish the law. Are you establishing the law in your deeds and your actions? Or are you still a worker of iniquity? Are you still praying for the Corban of the temples of the gods of the world? You don't know the meaning of words. And now the question is, do you want to know the meaning of words? Do you want to know the truth? for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith, or are you living by force? Do you have ministers out there that are forcing the contributions of your neighbor so that you can be safe and secure and cared for and taken care of and educated and welfared? Because if you are, you're not living by faith. You're living by force. You're living by their gun. You cannot be a socialist or even seek the power of a democracy and be a Christian. You cannot do it because none of those operate by faith. You know, read our stuff on democracy. You can't hardly find anybody in early America who is for democracy. Until after 1927, democracy was a bad thing written about in government pamphlets. Democracy was bad. It was a wicked form of government. In government manuals. But by 1945, democracy became the thing that we should fight and die for. How did that happen? The only one I found that was really advocating democracy was Karl Marx. Because all democracies lead to socialism. And socialism to communism. You know, FDR and Hitler were both social democrats. They were on the same side. And that's what brought your nations to its knees today. It's the selfishness that is empowered by such systems. Because you all have one purse of rights in a democracy, you can take away the rights of your neighbor. You can shed his blood. And that's what you're doing every day. You're devouring each other. This isn't the government that's devouring you. It's you devouring each other because you've decided to have one purse. And you have run towards death. Proverbs. It tells you the prophets knew this mystery. It's always been written there. But it remained a mystery to you because you would not receive the revelation of Christ. Because you didn't believe in Christ. You believed in an image of Christ that you created in your own mind, and that is idolatry. Romans 2:7, to them who be by patience, continuance, in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Romans, Paul saying, well-doing? To them who by patient, continuance, in well-doing? Sounds like works to me. Paul should read his own stuff. He doesn't seem to understand. You're saved by grace, not by well-doing. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, in other words, not well-doing, but obey unrighteousness, systems of Corbin that make the word of God to none effect, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Worketh good? Paul talking about we have to worketh good, and those that aren't working good? Wrath and indignation. Whoa, boy. Paul should read these new dispensationalist guys who say, oh, we're saved by grace. We thought a thought. It's goofy. How can they miss it so much? They are in love with their own vanity and their own babblings. They don't want to really know the truth. And they need to repent. They need to turn around. They need to read John 15:10. Which we will read when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. And we'll tell you more about what they have failed to tell you in your modern churches, which are not cast up. Be right back. Well, before we go on with the show, I just thought I would mention a couple little highlights here and some notes that I had about 40 frightening facts on the fall of the U.S. economy, which was an article written some time ago at ZeroHedges.com. They had a couple of interesting statistics, or quite a few interesting statistics. You know, 30 years ago, the U.S. national debt was about $1 trillion, which is a lot of money, $1 trillion. But today, it's $17 trillion. So in that 30-year period, it's gone up, you know, what would that be, 170% or no, 1,700%. $17 trillion is 17 times 1 trillion. Simple as that. 40 years ago, the debt of the United States was $2 trillion. That's total debt. And now it's $56 trillion. Now, it's all goofy statistics because of the fact that we're dealing with the loss of value of the money as well. But still, it's a trend. That's the interesting thing, is the trend that it's going in the direction in which things are moving. In the term of one president, the government accumulated more debt than it did under the 42 U.S. presidents combined that came before that. That's huge trend. It shows a direction. It's like you're free-falling, and it's speeding up. And he has all kinds of other statistics, which we won't go over in this show. I mean, there are millions and millions of people getting food stamps. More than half the households are getting a federal government check every month, and that's huge. That money doesn't come out of thin air, although they print it out of thin air. It actually incurs with a debt, and we need to have a whole show just on debt, and we'll make some references to it. But in his statistics number 5, it says the federal government is stealing more than $100 million from our children and our grandchildren every single hour of every single day. That's not true. The federal government isn't stealing anything. Well, actually, there may be people in the federal government that are stealing the same as there is. Anytime you create a government of power, there will be people stealing. Like we said at the beginning of the previous show, there's billions and billions and billions, trillions of dollars missing that nobody knows what happened to. Somebody stole that. But the process is that the federal government is your ministers. That's who you. That's your religion. That's your faith. Full faith and credit. You go there to take care of the needy of your society. Your priests and ministers are the federal government. And so when they are given the responsibility of taking care of the needy of your society by you who voted them in, and said, you know, take care of the needy, or either through direct desire as a socialist wanting the government to take care of everybody, or through the apathy of a Christian who's just walking around thinking he's saved because he believes, and therefore he doesn't need to gather together and help take care of the needy of his society, doesn't know anything about taking care of the needy of his society, don't know how to do it. His ministers don't do it anymore. The churches don't do it anymore. You know, if your social welfare check is late, they might help you out a little bit. But they send you, I mean, all the ministers in most churches have a list of government aid programs that you can go to take care of the needy. It's not the federal government taking this money, and it's not stealing, it's coveting, because you've all agreed to the terms. But that federal government is simply doing what you've desired. So it's you who's stealing. You are the masters in a democracy. And the fact is the democracy is not going to vote away the benefits. So the democracy is not your salvation. Christ is your salvation. But you've got to actually listen to what Christ said, what John the Baptist said, what the apostles said, what Paul said. You have to be this worker of righteousness, taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, which Paul says. You have to stand fast in the ways of Christ, which Paul says. You aren't doing that. You're not even close to that. You're sitting there in your free time paging through your Bible saying, oh, look at this quote. Oh, look at this quote. Oh, this verifies that I know what I'm talking about. Oh, this makes me right. Oh, this makes me good. This makes me holy. This makes me safe. Oh, that Jesus, I love Jesus. 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 But you don't even know him. You're just parroting this stuff. You haven't even put it together and made any sense out of it. Now, I believe that God has divinely tried to reveal the truth to you, but you haven't been listening to God. You've been caught up in your own vain babblings. The babblings of your own brain, sitting there in your little soft chair, wheeling around. Oh, look at this, 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 look at this. You know, you get all involved, especially people who get all involved in whatever it is, whether it's, you know, boxing or motorcycles or bicycles or, you know, whatever hobby it is. You know, you can't just go out and run a mile or two. You got to run 20 miles. You got this type A personality. And you do the same thing with the Bible, but you run right over the truth and go right past it. Or you just want to, you know, you just need to kind of touch base. And I love that church. It makes me feel so good. You know, you got to repent of that. You got to turn around. Because hell is coming. Hell is coming with a vengeance. You need to repent. Because you've already sold your children into bondage and your grandchildren into bondage. And unless you turn around and start going back the other way, I don't know what I can do for you. Now, if you want to gather together with other people that are say that they're gathering together in the church, which is those people in our Living Network, go to livingnetwork.org and sign up and see if you can meet other people and start contributing so that these ministers will have the funds to go out and put ads in paper and gather Bible studies so that you can actually look at the Bible and find out what it's really saying. John 15:10, I started to talk about that before the break. If ye keep my commandments, if you keep my commandments, then say nomos there, it's in tole, commandments that are not done away with, that Paul just listed off in Romans chapter 2, verse 7 and on. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't abide in my love, you don't get my salvation, you don't get my grace. Get it? Got it. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Is that what you're doing? 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you're not keeping his commandments and you tell me you know him, I'm going to say you're a liar. You don't know him. I know you are a liar. You lie first to yourself, and then it makes it easier to lie to me because you actually think you're telling me the truth because you already lied to yourself. But what you're telling me is vain babblings. On and on and on. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Is it pleasing in his sight to covet your neighbor's goods? Is it pleasing in his sight to pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other? Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. If you believe in Jesus, you should agree with that. If you don't agree with that, then you don't really believe in Jesus and you're just making it up as you go along. Luke 13:27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, especially those who say. You know, this is really simple stuff. You should have this figured out. If you don't, you need to do some serious soul searching. Shut the dang book for a second and look at yourself. You're worshiping the book, not the God who wrote it. John 10:38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye know and believe. Do you believe? To believe what? That ye know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. That's Jesus talking. How do you know? By his works. That's how I know who you are. That's how I know you believe. Not because you told me you were saved on such and such a day. All these people say, oh, you got to tell me when you were saved. You got to tell me. Believe by what I do, not by what I say. Know unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. You should know by now. This is just to be obvious. But you have turned this word dispensational, which means stewardship, into an eschatology of do nothing but repeat after me. Religion. Say what I say. Religion. Don't worry about doing anything. Just say what I say. That's the liar's religion. That's Satan's religion. Acts 19:25, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. What's he talking about in that? These workmen that know by their craft that we have our wealth. What craft do you have? Have you been going by the crafty nature of Satan to obtain the wealth of your neighbor instead of the wealth of the kingdom of God? You know, when you actually act according to the Holy Spirit and follow his ways, and I'm not just saying, because sometimes those will look like you're being mean to people. It doesn't always look like nicey, honey, sweetie stuff. But when you actually follow those ways and sacrifice and give up of yourself, and you could do that and you say, oh, it was lost. I gave the contributions and they lost the contributions. And so what I gave was lost. No, it's not lost. In the quantum realm, when you give righteously, it creates like a dam of power stored up that will bring blessings in other places, you see, because we aren't just dealing in the physical realm. You cannot just do everything physically right and then it fixes everything in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is where the real power is. So that's why you have to do what you do out of a spiritual following of righteousness. But unfortunately, most people are following their vain minds and their vain babblings. And they're taking Paul and the clip here, clip there, clip there, clip there, repeat this, repeat this, and repeat this. Even though Paul disagrees with them clearly in other places, they never want to see that. And when you quote it to them, they forget it instantly. You show them and then they're off again. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience. There are going to be difficult times. And you're going to have to endure those. I was noticing somebody the other day that was impatient. They were trying to explain something. They couldn't come out with the right words. And they just were frustrated. They're not listening to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when that happens. Why are you so frustrated? Why is there so much anger? That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times you hear me doing my tirade and rebuking you and everything, and then all of a sudden I laugh because I'm not really mad. But I'm using the inflection. You see, my emotions don't have me. I have emotions. I use them to express myself and what I'm trying to say to you, so that you will have life more abundant, so that you will hear the words in your heart and in your mind based upon the revelation of Christ. But I can't bring the revelation of Christ to you, but it's there. It's right there next to you all the time, around you all the time. You have to receive it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But do you really love God? You say you do. But then we should see the works of those that love God. The sacrifice that is part of the nature of Christ. Where is your sacrifice? Where do you give that you may have life more abundant? Where are you throwing your bread upon the waters? Where are you serving one another? I mean, you think church services is singing and a sermon and bowing your heads and saying humble prayers. Jesus preached against all that. Not that you can't sing and do those things, but that is not where the answer is. Service, church service, was actually serving, feeding, caring for, taking care of one another in ways that strengthen the poor. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, this is who he's talking to, maybe not you, maybe you, I don't know. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Back to that quantum. That when you really are working in the Lord and not just in your own imagination, it doesn't matter whether it succeeds or not. It is going into the quantum realm of spirituality and storing up riches for you in the kingdom. Which may pay off today, may pay off tomorrow, may pay off in a dozen years. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How many times do they say, oh, well, that's works? He's talking the works of the law. That somehow or other you're justified because you got circumcised on this day and you used this calendar and you said these words. And no, what is the weightier matters? I mean, if there's anything that Christ was manifesting, is the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And that the form, we'll explain this in an article on did Jesus have long hair, and it really doesn't matter, but it's a good stepping stone because it's like one of those arguments, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin? And people get all involved in that and they miss the fundamentals, the real point, of what Jesus was saying, that this outside form doesn't mean anything. That there is a message in it, like keeping the Sabbath and all these things. I mean, how do you keep the Sabbath? You have to be righteous or you don't keep the Sabbath. You can take the day off all you want. That doesn't mean you kept the Sabbath. It's what you do the rest of the week that makes it the Sabbath, God's day of rest. Whatever, you're a robber and a thief and a scoundrel and a rapist 6 days a week, but you took the Sabbath off, so he kept the Sabbath. The rest he took was not a rest of God. It's the rest of the wicked. So you'll be careful of that. Colossians 1:10. Let's go back to Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. That is very clear. But the works show where your heart is at. Not the works of the law, your works, your labor. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. That's your labor, how you're walking, how you're living, how you are being in that stewardship, that dispensation of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful. Now that's a point. Now going out and giving to the poor, is that fruitful giving? Are you just giving to poor at random, or are you giving to poor that strengthens the poor? Are you just making it easier to be a drug addict, a sloth, a full individual, a wife beater, or whatever it is? Because, you know, like we said before in a previous show, the guys who stand on the street corner, and not all guys on the street corner are this way, but some of them, they actually have plenty of money. They're just looking for a little spending money, and they take turns on the corner getting money, and people hand them money out, and they think, oh, well, I did a good work. I helped that guy out. No, you didn't. Because it wasn't fruitful good work. You need to be increasing in the knowledge of God, which is spiritual knowledge of revelation, so that you have revelation. Somebody was telling me, they were talking on the phone the other day to somebody, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, their mind went blank, and they were talking about the gospel and the truth, and all of a sudden, they realized they couldn't talk to that person anymore. He says, I'm going to hang up now. I'll call you later when God has something for me to tell you. But for some reason, you know, they realized that they shouldn't stay on the phone with this person. They were keeping them from something. And they just suddenly just, there needed to be attention somewhere else. And so they got off and then they wondered about it for a while. And after a little bit, they called the person back up. And it ended up that their little daughter was outside. And a new dog they had the little daughter pinned in the corner. And wouldn't let her out, was terrorizing the little girl. And had he kept her on the phone a little bit longer, who knows what would happen. But because suddenly he knew that he had to let her get off the phone, she went outside and looked, and there the girl was in the corner of the yard, trapped by the dog, who was getting aggressive. She pulled the dog off and took the little girl in, and they're getting rid of the dog. So anyway, the point is that how did he know? I could give you a lot better stories than that, but many, many stories. I mean, just intricate stories where all of a sudden you need to be here or go here or say this or do that. And I get them all the time from other people that tell me the same thing. The Spirit is in your life. And that's the knowledge of God, because that is what he's building his church on, is that knowledge of God, that knowledge of what you need to know in the Spirit. And that will become stronger and stronger as you invest in the kingdom, sacrifice for the way, by sacrificing for others. It's no good to sacrifice for yourself. You have to sacrifice for others. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's what you need to do. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobates. Now you go to the regular churches and they say, well, no, these are good people. It's okay, because they told those people it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of governments who exercise authority one over the other, even though Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. It can be that way with us because we got these preachers who've come in with damnable heresies that say that it's okay to do that. And that those preachers are of Satan. They need repentance too, so that they can be of Christ, instead of just lip service to Christ and actually serving Satan by delivering the whole world back into the bondage of Egypt and the bondage of Nimrod, the bondage of Babylon, which is where you have all gone. And we'll talk about this more in detail. We got a long ways to go in this when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. So until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.